This Fan Run podcast is brought to you by DraftKings.
The NBA is back, and at DraftKings Sportsbook, an authorized sports betting partner of the NBA, the key to victory is a strong starting five. New customers can bet just $5 on any NBA team to win their game, and if they do, you win $200 in free bets. Download the DraftKings Sportsbook app now and use promo code FANRUN in all caps. Bet just $5 on any NBA team to win their game and win $200 in free bets. If they win, you win with promo code FANRUN in all caps. This week at DraftKings Sportsbook, an authorized sports betting partner of the NBA. Must be 21 or older in Tennessee only. Restrictions apply. See DraftKings.com/sportsbook for details. If you or someone you know has a gambling problem and wants help, call or text the Tennessee Redline, 1-800-889-9789.
Now from the studios of Fox Sports Knoxville, this is 3 and Out with Nate Hodges, Houston Kress, and Davey Hudson. Fan Run Radio.
We will not go quietly into the night. We will not vanish without a fight. We're going to live on. We're going to survive. Today, we celebrate
football time in Tennessee.
As an entire football program, we want to play fast and be physical. The type of program that we want to have and we will have at Tennessee. We want to be innovative, but we want to have fun. There's not a better place in America to do that than Knoxville, Tennessee. It's a special place to come play college football, and everything and anything that you want to do in the game and outside of the game has been done at Tennessee and will be done again.
But Dad, I want to be a rodeo clown.
Dang it, Bobby.
Excited to run out of the tunnel and make that right-hand turn behind Smokey and ready to play in front of 103,000 in Neyland Stadium.
We can dance if we want to. We can leave your friends behind. Because your friends don't dance, and if they don't dance, well, that no friends of mine. Say, we can go where we want to. Place where they will never find. And we can act like we come from out of this world. Leave the real one far behind. We can dance.
Welcome into the White Claw Hard Seltzer Studios of Fan Run Radio. Monday edition of the program.
Let him off the hook.
You gonna crown there?
You gonna crown? Crown their ass.
Boys, went on the road. Couldn't quite get it done Saturday night. Another Tennessee.
You would hope they could have at least covered.
Things are looking so good on that front. But no.
It was a tough fourth quarter. Depth caught up with us. It's got to be. Got to be the old depth.
I think so.
Yeah. We got fatigued.
Well,
running wrong routes, missing tackles,
jumping before the snap, not lining up right. Yep.
Yeah, some of those were iffy. Some of those were a little iffy. You know what I mean?
I guess so.
What the hell are you doing?
What is the problem?
What's wrong? Don't worry
it's
about
fine.
It.
No, it's not it even. It doesn't matter.
No one.
There's
can,
a reason that I'm having a conversation with Hickman.
You're not
via
having a
sign language.
You're being,
and you guys,
you're being so distracting. It's not even a.
You hit him with
do
something.
Your job. Yeah, because he's staring at his phone, not looking at me. I'm trying to get his attention to help make the show better.
No one can hear anything. There's nothing to hear. If it is, it's in your headset. Everything sounds fine over here.
I can't even get on Josh Heupel now for not getting his guys lined up right, because look at our crew. Like, we can't, you know, can't even execute.
Bench him. Bench Hudson.
Right, to start the show, we got him throwing stuff, false starting, committing penalties. Man.
Man.
I think I was more frustrated by that than...
By what?
Just, we were back to making the penalty mistakes again. Then some of the plays we could, like... I feel like we couldn't make some plays, maybe just because, you know, we're not fast enough. That not as frustrating as, like, you know, we got three receivers still getting lined up and we snapped the football.
I blame the refs.
For that?
Yep, they were just itching to call that crap.
We had three guys moving. We snapped the ball.
The refs are supposed to let us know and stand over the ball. Okay.
We didn't sub, we just were moving.
Nope. They're supposed to wait till we stop before they signal the go for play.
I mean, I'll agree with you. The refs were already kind of making some weird calls early, but, you know, I mean, we did jump at least a lot of those times. Maybe not. There's that one weird one, but I don't know. Hank T was pretty quick to point at Spragan, so he must have flinched somehow.
Yeah, I still haven't seen that one, though.
I think Spragan's right knee flinches, like, kind of jump.
That could have been anything. That could have been, you know, low potassium, a cramp. It's not his fault.
Mm-hmm.
It's a bad call.
You know the problem.
Hmm.
We didn't play complimentary football. Defense will get some stops. Offense couldn't do anything. Offense will score some points. Defense couldn't stop them. Tell us all this time. I mean, we had them.
Had them.
We're right there, toe-to-toe.
Toe-to-toe?
No, toe-to-toe.
Oh. I'm not even that mad about it.
What?
Yeah, I'm not either.
Hypo can get guys open. The schemes are good.
I've been used to it for a decade. What's one more game?
Oh, shut up. Oh. We just need... 28
points in the fourth quarter.
Yeah, that was a killer. Jeez, that was a killer. I mean... Let's be honest, the interception was a killer. Hooker played a great game, but and I'm not saying that was even his fault. There was obviously some miscommunication there.
No, that was his fault, but yeah. I mean,
I don't know what the guy he thought he was going to do versus what he did, but that interception, it was a backbreaker.
Well, Hooker couldn't run, first of all. There. This offense was limited from what it did against Ole Miss because he... I mean, there were some times where some lanes would open up. He'd be like, I'm going to take off. And I'm looking at it going, man, he's going to get like 8 yards here. And he'd get two because, like, he'd go to run and he just couldn't run. And
stuck
the guy
in the
would
mud.
Drag him down.
Yeah, he was limited.
I mean, the run game was.
No, there wasn't really one.
No. 26 carries for 64 yards.
Miss Cade Mays.
The offensive line didn't really do much there. A lot of third down issues early in the game. I mean, this thing could have been more of a lead first half.
Yeah, it would have been nice to put some pressure on him one time in the fourth quarter, you know? Did only give up 3 sacks, though. That's not bad for us. Had two. Problems continue with corralling a quarterback who can run a little bit. Bryce Young, 10 carries, 42 yards, 2 touchdowns.
I mean, even when we were in position, we couldn't tackle him. We didn't tackle very well at all, actually.
Thought we tackled the running backs pretty good.
Yeah, I guess so. I mean, it's like when they'd hand it off, it's like, okay, here's a running play. I'm going to come up. I'm going to fill my gap. I'm going to make the tackle.
I didn't feel
like
they had a lot of yards after contact, receiving or rushing.
But when Bryce Young would run around.
The problem was we couldn't touch him.
Yeah.
He would just put on a little juke in the backfield. And we'd have guys literally sprawling all over themselves.
Mm-hmm. Oh, man. Well, remember I told you the Ole Miss couldn't either. That was their problem with getting off the field against Alabama. Their linebacker couldn't get him either, even when they spied him.
He doesn't like to run, but he's pretty good at it when he decides to.
31 of 43, 371, 2 touchdowns for Bryce Young.
Was he your SEC's leading passer?
He was not.
Who was?
Will Rogers.
Did you save yourself? No?
It's very, very close.
Was it? Was it very, very, okay.
I had the wrong Texas A&M running back.
Mm. Was it A-Chain?
I did.
Yeah, like over 150 or something.
I'm pretty sure it was A-Chain, Arkansas, Will Rogers. I need to check that Will Rogers. I'm pretty sure he was like 384.
Okay. So, sorry.
Mm-hmm.
So A-Chain outrushed Spiller, huh?
Yep.
That's a shame.
Well, they were actually pretty even. And then he just happened to get the carries on the drive that, in fact, it looked like they were headed towards the biggest blowout, too. But
yeah, until South Carolina brought in Brown.
A couple late touchdowns.
Who's Brown?
A-Chain at 154. I have no idea.
I don't either. But he came in and threw a late touchdown for South Carolina. All right, we enter the bye week now.
Yes.
We're 4-4. Four games remain. Kentucky, Georgia, South Alabama, and Vanderbilt.
Okay.
Kentucky obviously had a bye week this past weekend. They're getting ready for Mississippi State this week.
Mm-hmm.
How we feeling? It's about where we thought we'd be heading into the bye week, right?
Exactly where. Yeah. I mean, the season... I mean, these games have now... I mean, they're, like, Vanderbilt's who we thought they were.
They're bad.
They're worse.
Terrible.
They're very bad.
South Alabama was just always, you know, that always had to be a win, no matter what. And then Georgia, you know, we'd already counted as a loss, and they've been even better than expected, I think. A little more impressive, at least on defense.
Yeah, their defense.
Maybe about what we expected on offense. And then it all comes down to that trip to Lexington. Wonder whether this season is, I think, considered a limited success or a limited failure.
Limited, really? I mean, if this team goes 7, I mean, there are people who thought we might not win 4 games. We're already there. I'm not saying I thought they were right or had a point, but there were a lot of people who said, this team ain't going to win 4 games. This is going to be the worst team ever. And I guess I was
trying to hedge on the failure part. I don't want people just to hear failure and think that...
I mean, if you beat Kentucky, you're going to beat a top, 15 team on the road. Should obviously take care of South Alabama and Vanderbilt, get 7-5, maybe go to a bowl game, maybe the Mayo Bowl against Clemson. Take care of business.
Vegas isn't very high on Kentucky this week.
This week or next week?
This week. They're a 1-point favorite over state.
1 point? Really?
I guess when I've watched the team play, though, Houston, like, Missouri was much worse than I expected, so, like, this team should beat South Alabama and Vanderbilt, and if they lose the other two, I mean, I guess it'll be, maybe that'll just be neutral, it'll just be the season I thought they would have. If they beat Kentucky, and they beat the other, if they go 3-1 here, then, yeah, it'll be on the positive side. I don't think it can really be negative unless you, like, Maybe if you go 2-2 and like aren't even close at Kentucky, I'll be a little down, but not like out or anything.
Yeah, I mean, if we get blasted by Kentucky, I don't think there's going to be too many people who are.
I mean, if you get
like you can explain it away a little bit if it's Alabama or you know Florida, Tennessee obviously kept it close against Ole Miss, kept it close against Pitt, big win for Pitt over the weekend, knocking out Clemson.
Clemson's not covered a game this year.
You hate to see it. Good. Maybe we're stealing the mojo back from Clemson to be the best team in orange and white. That stupid purple. They never deserved it anyway.
But, I mean, you've beaten everybody that you are better than. And the teams you've lost to, I think, are better than you. It all makes sense in my head. You've had some stretches where you played really good football. You've had some stretches where you... look like a team of the first year, you know, trying to learn how to win and trying to learn how to just even play. Did not seem like we didn't even really go fast enough in this game at times.
I thought we went too fast.
I mean, there was that one fourth down where it was like we're going to go for it, but Hooker's on the ground.
That one was weird.
And then we weren't able to go
for it. Was
that
the one where we ran the draw to set it up and it made it, and then it just looked like we were going to go for it and it looked like he was really debating it and then punted?
I think Heupel is like, we're going to go. Like, come on, get the play in. And then when it just didn't work out, he's like, he had a second thought and was like, well, if we're not going to be able to go for it, just take the delay game and punt it. But it seemed like if the, yeah, that if one was the team weird. Could have responded to him sending in the signals, they were just going to go for it, which I think was the right decision.
I do too. I was mad at that at the time. Did we not get a turnover on that possession or something?
I thought they went down and scored.
And then maybe that was it. They scored. Was that the one where he got all up on the refs and then we came back and hit the bomb to Tillman?
I think so.
Yeah.
You needed to go for it in hindsight.
Yeah, I was surprised in the moment that he didn't go for that.
I mean, everybody laughed at Lane Kiffin, but like, this is why you just keep going for it. Because they're going to score.
What was it? Wasn't that fourth and one or two or something? And the penalty made it.
It was fourth and one, and it got to fourth and six after the delay.
Right. That was just weird. I'm not. And we were right at midfield, I think. Maybe just across.
47. Our own 47.
That was strange.
Well, to be fair, by my count, weren't we like 0-4 on third and one?
Well, quit running the damn ball.
Throw it.
Yeah, it really doesn't matter there. Because I mean,
they're gonna score.
Exactly. That's why I was so frustrated. Because at that point, it just felt like they were going to score. It wasn't necessarily going to be easy. Was that the drive we punted and it was 3rd and 15 and they hit that bomb on the post over Beasley, who had maybe the worst game a linebacker's ever had at Tennessee.
That was 3rd and 15.
It was 3rd and long.
The one where we basically didn't cover that guy. Like Beasley's not supposed to be covering that guy that far. He's supposed to be making sure that throw goes over his head.
Right. No, I'm watching the play and I see Young drop back and launch, and I think, okay, dadgummit, that guy was pretty open. Then I look at the replay and it was Beasley who was on him, and the safety was late getting over from the quarterback right side. And boy, I just didn't understand that one. I mean, yes, I'll say it. There is not a linebacker in the country who could guard that route against, was that Williams?
I don't remember.
Not a linebacker in the country, and probably few safeties who can cover that guy on that route from that position. It was a bad idea. And with no safety help. Now I'd have to go back and look and see what we did. Like where was the left safety? Did we get sucked in on some dummy crossing route or something like that. But yeah, that play stunk. Yeah, Jameson Williams was the one who caught that one. 6 catches, 123, long of 65. That was that play. John Metchie III had 11 catches, 121, 2 touchdowns. He was pretty quiet until he got that last one. I mean, I don't know. I feel like you did some pretty good things defensively. You forced a lot of third downs. That was cool. Right? Getting all those.
Well, it was the start of the second half. They got back-to-back stops, but our offense didn't do anything.
Yeah.
And once again, great out of the gate and bad second quarter.
Yeah.
I don't know. It's just that's strange.
I have to go back and look at the second quarter. Was that didn't they have the ball like the whole time?
Trying to pull up the play-by-play and it keeps freezing on me for some reason.
But yeah, he forced 3 punts, blocked a punt. Strange that Valus didn't want to return a kick all night. I guess that's our new thing, is just take the fair catch and roll with it. Maybe that's team dependent.
Yeah, I don't know.
Tennessee had 8 tackles for loss. I'd say they probably didn't drop in the Power 5 tackle for loss ranking on that one. You had 2 sacks. Bama had 3 sacks, 5 tackles for loss. It's amazing they only had 5 tackles for loss, considering we ran for 2.5 yards a carry. Long run of 12. I was going up against Brian Robinson in fantasy. Those touchdowns kind of hurt.
Yeah.
Yeah, it happens.
I mean, you only forced one punt the first half, even though you're in it. You had the... They fumbled, missed a field goal.
Yeah, their fumble was really weird, too. They kept giving Kamal Haddon credit for it. Did he do anything? It looked like the guy just banged it off his knee. Mm-hmm. Don't get me wrong, I'll take it. Those are some of the things you kind of have to have happen if you're going to beat Alabama.
But if you want to talk about like halftime adjustments, the Tennessee defense, got back-to-back 3-and-outs to start the second half.
Yep.
The only problem was your offense went 3-and-out for -1 yards on their possession sandwiched in between there. And then the second punt was the blocked one, and you've got the ball, you know, set up, and you go 0 yards and kick a field goal.
What were the plays there? Did we try to run it almost every time? Were the first two plays run plays?
No, incomplete to Jacob Warren. Tyon Evans run for 5 yards.
I'm trying to remember that one to Warren. Wasn't he wide open? Was that in the end zone? I'm going to have to pull the game up and rewatch some of this stuff. Because it felt like we missed a couple pretty big opportunities.
Well, and then that's where you had the 3rd and 5, and Hooker kind of rolls right, and he's got room to run, and he starts to, and he gets across the line of scrimmage, and he throws it.
Throws it to Peyton, who got hurt on that play.
So that's how you
and then they called him past the line. And
That's why he ended up with 0 yards. You actually gained 5 on a run, but you went back 5 on the penalty.
I will say, when we blocked that punt, I got that feeling. Me too. 10 minutes left in the third. You're down a touchdown. You block a punt, basically, I mean, in the shadow of their goalpost. You thought, this is the one. This is going to be it. And then you get the field goal, whatever. And then how long was the field goal that Ricard hit?
It's like
50-something?
45.
45. Says 45. Felt longer.
He missed the one from 52.
Okay, that's what I was thinking. That was another reason I thought, might have a chance here. Okay, yeah, we lost to Alabama. The final score was bad. We did not play well for 3 quarters, and we're still right there in the game. We were making stupid mistakes.
We had 3 drives come out and start the second half for 16 yards. 3 drives, 16 yards.
Well, what were their 3 drives? That's what I'm saying.
Well, that was your chance. That's what I'm saying.
No, I don't disagree. I'm just saying
that's what I mean by the complimentary football thing.
Well, it's also the best stat, or at least the best head coach in all of college football. Like, they make halftime adjustments too, and their players are twice as good. I'm not disagreeing with you. And that's I think what
their
makes
first two drives, they only got 4 yards. They had back to back 3 and 8. They got the field goal in the third.
Yeah.
One.
Yeah. I feel like the defenses came out of halftime and just had, I don't know if that was the offenses not making adjustments or the defense had made adjustments or you adjusted into the adjustment. And so it was a net 0 for both teams.
And then after their touchdown, I mean, you at least answered with the bomb and got cut it, you know, back to a touchdown.
By the way,
our defense couldn't
do
anything.
Did someone say
then
on that play we false started? Like that play shouldn't have counted? Did Cedric Tillman get off just a touch early? Was that the play?
Yeah, somebody posted a screenshot of that play on Twitter of everybody lined up, and it looks like
he's already started to move. Well, that was another reason I was so frustrated that we weren't going fast late. You know why that touchdown happened? Because Alabama's corner is looking at the sideline for the call. We snapped the ball, and maybe he got a tiny bit of a head start. I don't know. Looks like the center's already moved the ball.
Yeah.
So maybe it was just perfectly timed. But Tillman's already, he's 5 yards down the field before the corner even turns to look at him. And at that point, the corner just has to turn and bail. And Big said, well, what have we said all year? The guy's wide open, he's deep, and nobody can get him the ball. Hooker drops a dime. He bobbled it just like Juwan Jennings against Florida. I got nervous for a second.
I saw the ball
bobble. I actually closed my eyes thinking that he was going to drop it. But no, he hangs on. He gets into the end zone. Nick Saban is furious.
That's the good thing about this offense. You can't catch guys napping.
It's not even napping. They don't even have the call. I mean, and you see it work. And credit to Nick Saban, although I will say, it's not like we were stringing together long drives, right? We were hitting them with a big play, or we were giving them the ball back via punt. But you didn't see Alabama players faking injuries. Lane Kiffin, you pansy, you coward, you wuss.
A lot of people were coming at us because we had so many players go down. Like,
yeah, I love the Alabama players booing our guy down on the field at the end of the third quarter. Like, that's, tell you what, you got us. That's when we're going to fake an injury, when we have a built-in timeout anyway. Mm-hmm. You toothless morons who sing a song about Tennessee and claim it as your own, you idiots. It's funny how, you know, Alabama fans are notorious for being terrified out of their mind for 3 quarters, and then at the end of the game, just giving you no respect whatsoever. And now, given the final score, I get it. Maybe they feel like they don't deserve to give us any respect. Oh, yeah, we beat you 52-24. Did you see the crowd shots there for a while? Those were some scared people. Those are some terrified people who thought they weren't going to get to smoke their little black and mild. And then at the end of the game, they, you know, the did you hear all the FUT chants and stuff when we'd have players hurt? It was just a classless fan base.
What did you expect?
Classless bunch of spoiled brats.
Yeah, Warren was open on that one.
That's what I thought.
Threw it way behind him. I don't know. That seemed like
miscommunication. I mean, he was wide open, wasn't he?
It was like going to be an out route. Just throw it out there, and you're going to be like second one probably.
Right. Or he breaks his little tackle, shimmies in for a Sauce 87 touchdown.
Could have been a race to the pylon there. He makes that first
him
guy.
Against the safety. I'll take the safety in the race, but he probably got a little size on him. I don't feel that bad about the game, like 10,000 foot, but in the moment. I mean, when you're in the fourth quarter, you started the fourth quarter. Well, I guess you gave up the touchdown and then answered right back. Mm-hmm. I thought it was going to be one of those back and forth dogfights, and if we could make one play to get, you know, get off the down a touchdown thing, you know, things might have got interesting. Although I will say, okay, that was the most points we've scored against Bama since 2003.
Really?
Oh, you didn't know this stat?
No, I didn't know.
That's the most points Tennessee has scored against Alabama since 2003. Okay. You know why it was 2003? Because that game went to five overtimes. Mm. So the points got...
Yeah.
They got up there. Tennessee also won that game. Let's see. Most points since 2003. You made some plays against Bama that you don't typically make. When's the last time we blocked a punt against Alabama? Oh, wait.
Yeah. No, you did. I mean, you're right in it. Just.
I mean, I feel like once again, the difference, and this has been the problem with this team all year, and there's nothing they can do about it, really. If the quarterback can run around and receivers can get open, this team's in trouble.
Well,
this team that's the one thing that they just don't have somebody to account for.
The linebacker play.
That's what. Then who typically spies the quarterback?
It's horrific, dude.
You don't spy Bryce Young. You just got to tackle him.
Tim Banks. That's why he's playing so much zone coverage.
Yeah, so you can have eyes on the quarterback when they take off.
He can't expose the linebackers. Well, and even the safeties. He doesn't want to get them exposed in the slot and man coverage, like.
Especially against teams like this.
Basically just has to play it safe. And when you play it safe, you're covering all the big, big bomb stuff.
Right.
And so the quarterback taking off and running for six is like what you're giving up. But the problem is if he makes the guy miss, he runs for 16 or he runs for six over and over and over, and it just gets really frustrating.
Well, and the problem is it's Alabama and Bryce Young. See, I think the defensive game plan you ran against Alabama, I think that's a really good game plan against Will Levis in Kentucky. Because I don't think Will Levis is...
fleet of foot.
Well, I think he's actually pretty fleet of foot. Quick. I just don't think he's as good to sit in the pocket by time and then look for the open guy sitting down in the zone. He's a guy who's going to force a ball. He's going to make a mistake. He's going to, you know, he's just a little bit more loose with the football, and he just doesn't understand the system as well as Bryce Young understands Alabama's system. I mean, I realize he's a young player. We don't know him that well. Guy's really damn good.
Yeah.
He's patient. He sits back there. I mean, how many times was he waiting? He'd roll a little bit, look, and then he'd hit a guy for 10 yards. And you're right. A lot of their catches in this game, in fact, most of them, it was catch-tackle, right? Catch-tackle. There was not a lot of yak yards, except when they threw those flares to the line of scrimmage, and then they'd only get, you know, 8 to 12. The defensive game plan, like you said, it was maybe if we can force them into a lot of plays, they will make some mistakes. But you got 15 third downs forced, they converted 10 of them. You blocked the punt, you didn't get a touchdown out of it. You got a turnover on a non-forced fumble. I don't know what we'll call that play. And you went 3-and-out. You had some chances, but again, I mean, it's Alabama. They're the second most talented team in the country per the rankings. I will say, finally, for the first time all season, people around the country who typically hate Tennessee gave Josh Heupel a lot of credit, said this guy's got some stuff to sell.
We'll talk more about it. Get to the phone lines, 865-546-8200. If you want to weigh in on the G3 Help Me Hotline, stick with us right here as we recap on 3-and-out. Welcome back into the White Claw Hard Seltzer Studios, Fan Run Radio. Got the G3 Help Me Hotlines open for you. 865-546-8200. If you want to weigh in. Just watching Cedric Tillman roast this guy. I'm going to give Tillman a little more credit. I think the guy was at least kind of half ready. Wasn't just like a complete fake out. Just put a little move on him. Glad he caught that ball. That'd have been...
What'd you think of the hit on Hooker that was not called anything at all? Where he was getting held up and the guy just launched into his face mask?
I didn't even notice it at all live. Once I saw the reviews, I was like, or the people send the
replay out,
I was like, yeah, that's targeting.
When you think back to Daryl Taylor's personal foul for getting up.
That one.
Yeah. Just, yeah.
Yeah. Annoying.
Yeah. Little annoying.
Let's go to the G3 Help Me Hotlines. We got Matt up first today. What's up, Matt? You're on Three and Out.
Hey, good morning, guys.
Morning.
Yeah, I was going to touch on that first thing. Look, we weren't going to win that game, but that early in the, how do they not review and call targeting on that play early in the game? That guy should have been ejected. I mean, if you're going to review and call launching, that's the perfect scenario of how you teach someone not to launch. And that guy blatantly launched with his helmet down right up into Hooker's face. I mean, it's lucky Hooker didn't get injured there.
Bama privilege.
Big time, brother. Big time. I mean, they didn't even look. I mean, the guys on TV are talking about it. Refs don't even call it or anything. It just amazes me, man. I mean, I just don't see how there's no consistency on this stuff. You know, especially when you're playing Bammers and Georgias and stuff like that, they get the calls no matter what. You know what I'm saying? You got that, and then you had, and I'm not blaming the refs for us losing because we weren't going to win the game. But how do you call fumble on the 1 yard line? Okay, and then we recover it in the end zone. We come out of the pile with it, and you roll a touchdown for Bama. How is that possible?
They said he made like an immediate recovery for a split second, and then we stole it away from him. I never saw a video of a clear recovery. I mean, I saw the ball close to him, but it looked like there were multiple hands on the football at that point. And I thought a tie went to the defense in that scenario, but...
Yeah, and there was no clear-cut evidence, which they always say there was no camera angle. The only clear-cut evidence was the fumble.
Was the fumble, right.
Ties go to the offense.
Yeah, ties go to the offense. But it doesn't matter. Like, I don't understand. We were talking about this in the break, actually, Matt. I don't understand how they said call in the field stands, but then said he fumbled it and recovered it.
Did they say just the touchdown stands?
Maybe. I don't know. I have to go back and watch.
Yeah, it didn't. But again, you couldn't see who – I mean, I know that just because the quarterback was on it, he never had possession of it, and the person that came out of that pile was a Tennessee guy.
Yep.
So it's like, whatever, man.
We weren't going to win it, but, I mean, you're down a touchdown. There's 13-17 left, fourth quarter, and you have them third and 15 because they committed a delay a game to start a drive, and you have – stoned them on the first two plays perfectly. One's a run, one's a pass. You made perfect tackles. And then for some reason, we just, like, turn a guy loose down the middle of the field. Like, I mean, that you get off the field right there. I'm just saying, I watched the Texas A&M game and then kept thinking throughout the whole thing, well, here comes Bama. Yep, here they'll get it done here. Here they'll do it. And
yeah,
they never, you know, they A&M kept making plays and won the game.
I'll tell you why I don't think we were going to win the game. And I've been singing praises for Josh Heupel, and I will continue to sing praises for him. But he dropped the ball in this game. He coached that game not to lose. He didn't play to win. And you could see it on the field. It was blatant. Not going for the fourth and one, running it on consecutive third downs, doing that stupid handoff up the middle for the whole first half. They played conservative, man, somehow. And which is just not like him. And you could tell, and it cost us the game. I mean, we were up 14-7 at one point, and if we would have played, we had a chance to go up 21-7. It was the series where we went straight three and out after we got up. I think it was after the block punt. Because we scored after that block punt, correct?
Kicked the field goal.
Kicked the field goal.
Was it a field goal? Yeah. And then I think we went three and out, and that's where we could have went up. We could have had a 14-point lead. There was some point. I'm just getting jarred up here. But, look, they played good. But, Hop, there was so many – I mean, we obviously are just decimated. I wish – I mean, if you had a healthy Hendon Hooker, a healthy Evans, and a healthy offensive line, yeah, I think we got a real good chance of at least being competitive in that fourth quarter. But you could just tell, man, by the time the fourth quarter rolled around, we're just, I mean, good God, you're so banged up, man. Half your team's out. And
yeah.
We were still hanging with them.
Defense was just gassed.
Yeah, big time. Y'all see what I'm saying on a hop, though? Y'all agree or disagree with that?
The fourth and one was just weird to me. That seems like a no-brainer for him based on everything we've seen. I don't know what happened there. I don't know if he got asked about that after the game.
He did, and he did, and he said he basically his answer was he couldn't make a decision fast enough. That's exactly how he answered it. They kind of pushed him on it, and that's why he took the delay of game. It was like they didn't know. He even said he was like, well, we were going to go for it, and then it just time kind of got too close, and we decided it just ran out, so we kicked it there.
Well, just take a timeout and call a play, bro.
That's what I thought
was
happening. And
that's what I thought, too.
Game. It's like, well, I mean, if you weren't going to go, the delay game is the right call, but it was fourth and one. Like, you should have gone. It was,
yeah.
It was 24-17. You were down a touchdown, and your offense had really sputtered to start the half. You know, three and out, even though you got a field goal. And then you had gone five plays for 17 yards so far on that drive, and you had it fourth and one. And it's, like you said, at the 47-yard line, Hooker had run it there. I thought, I mean, maybe Heupel was in his headset. He was going crazy as soon as Hooker hit the ground. I thought he was calling a play, trying to get Tennessee to go fast.
Mm-hmm.
But Hooker was on the ground. Everybody else was kind of milling around trying to get the call. And I don't know, maybe Heupel wasn't calling a play. Maybe he was trying to talk to the guys upstairs about what they thought a good play would be.
Right.
And by the time they kind of got there, then they just were like, well, we don't want to burn a timeout. Let's just take the delay game and punt it. The defense was playing better to start the second half.
I think
half.
They held him on that anyways, but on the punt. But still, it just
– No, touchdown.
I just think – did Alabama score a touchdown on that one?
Touchdown. 11 plays, 80 yards, 407. I mean, that was
well, –
that's yeah. why he had to go. You know, if you go down and score and tie the game up, you know, it's – It felt like if you could get the game tied at some point in the second half, that could have given you a little bit of doubt could have crept in their mind. Oh crap! Is this happening again? This feels like Texas A&M again. We can't quite put these guys away.
Well, I'll get out of here, guys. I'm proud of them. I'm telling you, these guys, it's crazy. They just aren't they're not quitting. These guys play hard, man. I listened to the podcast on VR, and Bear had a comment. It might be his favorite team as far as just efforts. And he's right, man. These guys, you almost can't not like this team. They just play hard, and they play. You can tell with this coach, if we just get some talent, which is a big if because who knows, man. But players, if they're smart and they want to score and they want to be noticed, I'd come and play here, man, because this guy, if he gets some people around him, he can throw up points. And I'm telling you another thing, guys, on my way out the door, I'm really impressed with Banks as our defensive coordinator. I mean, other than the fourth quarter, I mean, which they just blew it wide open, I don't blame that on him, but we're holding Alabama. You got to figure out this quarterback scrambling thing, but they didn't run the ball on us that well, at least as far as a running back goes.
Yeah, not until the fourth quarter when Robinson kind of got going.
Right. But that's just, again, going back to injuries and you're gassed. I mean, good Lord, guys, what was the time of possession? Your defense can't stay on the field for 40 minutes in a game.
Well, they're going to with Josh Heupel. I mean, that's the only thing that's not going to change.
Yeah.
You just got to have – we need two more linebackers, just guys you can rotate in.
Yep.
I mean, because you basically have three dudes that can play two positions. And if you're going to be out there that much, you can't ask those guys to – you can't
– tackle Robinson,
and then on third down, keep Bryce Young from taking off. That's tough.
Yep. See you guys.
Thanks for the call, Matt. Appreciate it, bud. They play hard. They play with effort. They don't seem to get down. You don't see a lot of finger pointing or anything like that.
Yeah, I mean, to be fair, I mean, the last two touchdowns were, 18-yard and 30-yard drives.
Yeah.
And you had the pick set up one, and then you went for it when that's the only choice you really had. And score definitely not indicative of how close the game was in there. I just don't know. I'm not ready to be like, oh, we're right there. You know, like, yes and no. Yes and no. I mean, in some ways you were, in some ways you weren't.
It makes you feel good about the schemes. I don't know why he would not have been as aggressive unless he was worried about mistakes.
I mean, they try and establish inside zone run plays with backs in every game. Like, right. That happened against Ole Miss. He didn't run the ball very well against Ole Miss early.
Right.
When Hooker started keeping it more. And I wonder if – I don't think Heupel would ever do this because he's not going to throw his player under the bus. But I think if you would ask him, and based on some of the stuff that came out of the Ole Miss game, I think when Hooker reads that zone play when he has the ability to keep it or give it, when he's reading it really well, it works a lot better. And sometimes when he makes the wrong read, it looks really bad. And it's tough.
Yeah, he had a couple opportunities to keep on Saturday night and didn't. And I'm going to guess a lot of that was he didn't feel confident or as confident running the football because of the knee.
Yeah, it was a bummer that we didn't, you know, he wasn't as electric as he was the week before due to the injury. We'll come back. Final segment, hour one. Stick with us. Final segment is brought to you by Knoxville Smiles. Check them out online at KnoxvilleSmiles.com and make your appointment to go see Drs. Malone or Costa. They'll take great care of you right here in West Knoxville. Cedar Bluff area, Knoxville Smiles, longtime sponsor of the station. Go support them if you need a dentist right here in Knoxville. KnoxvilleSmiles.com to make your appointment. Still can't figure out what happened on this 4th and 15.
They converted.
Yeah, no, I get that, but
I don't know what you mean, though. Beasley was in coverage. You couldn't keep up with the guy. What do you mean you don't know what happened? You're watching it, right?
Yeah, but, I mean, that's not his, that can't be his responsibility. You can't have a linebacker guarding one of their fastest receivers down the middle of the field. Had to be the boundary safety got sucked up, like you said earlier.
Yeah, I don't
know. It had to be a cover two look where Beasley's running down the middle to force any post throw to come over top of his head so your safeties can get there. I mean, heck, it could have been cover three if whoever's got that deep third at the bottom of the screen, if you're rewatching on TV, just isn't there.
Not good, Bob.
Frustrating.
Yeah. It was a frustrating night. I went into that game with zero expectations of winning, and then they do just enough to kind of get you to think, you know what, we're in this thing, we might have a shot, and then, of course, bad things. Just kind of the way it goes. Mm-hmm. What are you going to do? The bye week does hit at a very good time for this team, though.
I mean, it's all right there for you to at least, like we opened the show with, finish off this schedule with a pretty successful year for year one. If you can go to Kentucky and win,
mm-hmm.
I mean, obviously no one's touched Georgia all year.
There's right.
No expectations for that game. You've got an opportunity to get to finish the year after the bye week 3-1.
Yep.
You will have beaten Missouri and Kentucky at that point,
mm-hmm.
which I think is coming into the year was kind of like, okay, in year one, if you can just elevate yourself above the teams that you feel like as a program, you should always be better than, you will have done it. And in a weird way, I mean, you can finish second in the East if you do that.
Really?
Well, no, I guess you'd still be tied with Florida because both teams are tied right now at 2-3. Both teams have to play Georgia.
Yeah.
And then, I don't know, I guess they might win their other SEC games as well. So, but you can end up, you know, tied for second with Florida in the East in the win loss column.
Mm-hmm.
You have obviously have beaten all the other East teams except for Georgia and Florida.
Yeah.
And I think that, you know, you're gonna look back at the season and wish you had the Pitt second half back. You're gonna wish you had the Ole Miss, you know, some of the plays in that game back. But, you know, like we talk about, it doesn't. Yeah, okay. If you'd have beaten Pitt, you got one more win on the schedule, and you play a little bit better bowl game, okay. That'd be nice, but it's not like it is the difference between, you know, a championship or not. It's really setting the foundation for what you can do in the future. I mean, it's a pretty good year one. You go to Kentucky and get blasted, and everything kind of changes, I feel like.
You got a feel for that game at all?
I'm hopeful that we can play pretty sharp. That with the bye week, you can get healthy. They definitely have some. They have some road experience now at Alabama. You're going to play another road game here coming up. So I'm hoping they can clean up some of the pre-snap stuff. I've seen teams all year have trouble on the road, like even teams that typically don't.
Sure.
So I don't, you know, try not to be too harsh on that. I was frustrated we had so many penalties, especially, I mean, when you get, like, unforced penalties on offense, like, it sucks. You know,
yeah.
McElroy was talking about, you just can't be behind the sticks like that.
What do you attribute that to? Is that crowd noise for all the flinching?
I think it's hard going from last year playing in, you know, 25 to 50% capacity stadiums to this year going back to being in a
I think it's harder to hear the clap when you're on the road. And so they're tuning in, they're trying to hear it, and it just makes them a little more jumpy. Like in anything that kind of they're more ready to go because they know they have to almost focus more.
Right. Right.
So anything that kind of makes them think that it's going to happen makes them kind of jumpy. Yeah.
Can we not just watch the ball? I mean, I know you're hear the clap, half count go, but I don't know.
I mean, I still like.
Is that going to be that big of an issue at Kentucky? I mean, I know they.
Yeah, I think it'll be an issue.
Okay. It was an issue for Florida.
Well, one of the
I guess in an ideal world, they lose to Mississippi State. Their fan base gets disinterested. They start thinking about basketball, and we can go up there. Maybe the crowd's not as into it. That's a team. It'd be really nice if you could jump on them early, have a 21-point first quarter.
Get them to shut up
and just keep them quiet. And then pin your ears back on Levis and just see if you can't go get him. As long as you can cover Wandale.
I think it's more of a problem for the tempo teams because of the home PA system. I can't remember the exact rule on the time, but there's a certain point, I believe, on the play clock where they're supposed to kill the music. It's like at 15 seconds or 12. We never even get to that point most of the time if we're playing well. But if you're in formation, they're supposed to kill it too. But the problem with that is you go so fast, and I saw this with Ole Miss here, the opposite. You know, you get lined up, and it's still like as you're getting lined up, like you're about to be completely set, the music is still blaring, and then they kind of kill it right before you should be. And I think it still makes it more difficult than when you're at home and there's just no.
Right.
Because even if you're like band plays or whatever while you're on offense because you get a big first down or something, it's not the same as having the third down song on or whatever visitors are going to play. And I think Kentucky, I mean, they're going to be fired up for this game, whether in 2 weeks, no matter what.
I could see them losing and going into a little bit of a hole.
Yeah.
We all need to be pretty big Mississippi State fans this weekend.
I'd rather Kentucky just win against Mississippi State.
Why?
There's just something about playing good teams off of a loss. I just don't like it.
Do we think they're a good team?
I mean, I would say they're a good team, yeah.
All right.
I hope Will Rogers carves them up.
Overrated team, but good.
I mean, I think they're overrated. They've got some nice pieces. They don't do anything that scares me other than the fact that, you know, we're going there and it's – I don't know. We got payback on the mind. I'm not worried about that.
That Robinson guy, we had to keep him.
Yeah, Wandale Robinson's really good.
He's the only one that he scares me, and then Rodriguez just run over our linebackers. That could be a problem.
We're good against the run.